Man, so glad you're here. Welcome to Bethel this morning. We're excited to be here. It's always fun to come on Sunday mornings. It's always good to come hang out with you, hang out with the Lord, and see what the Lord would say to us, what the Lord would challenge us with. How many of you know we need to be challenged in the world we live in? Can I hear a good amen? We don't always need it soft and sweet and syruply and politically correct. We need to be challenged with the Word of God. And so today, I'll just be honest with you and tell you right straight up front. We started our summer series last week in 1 Peter. We're going to continue that next week. There's certain times that we just need to take a pause. We need to take a time out. And we go, you know what? We're going to address some issues right now. We're going to talk. Can I tell you something today? I'm going to talk to you as a pastor today. I love preaching. I love being your preacher. I'm known as the preacher man. It's what I love to do. But my calling is to be your pastor. And a pastor watches over a herd of sheep. A pastor, a shepherd leads sheep from green pastures to green pastures. And when the grass gets short here, they move them to another pasture. They lead them to still waters. A shepherd makes sure coyotes, sheep don't do dumb stuff and don't get out wandering off where the wolves and the coyotes can destroy the little lambs. Today I'm going to talk to you as a shepherd. Today I'm going to talk to you as a pastor a little bit. I'm going to talk to you about a hot topic of the day that we're living in, because I believe we got to know, we got to be informed. And today, I want to talk to you, the number one topic I want to talk to you about today is pride. It's pride. How many know pride is a killer? How many of you would be willing to admit, I struggle with pride? Pride, it's out there. You know, we're going to go to the Word of God today. How many of you know this? Look at me. Look. The Word of God is our guide. And how many know the Word of God, sometimes it encourages me. Sometimes it fires me up. Sometimes the Word of God makes me feel good. But how many would agree with me? There's parts of the Word of God that make me go, ooh, crap. That hurt me. That cut me. The Word of God is quick and sharp, and it's dividing. The Word of God, but you know what? If we're going to believe part of the Word of God, how many know we got to believe all of the Word of God? So we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to look at pride. Today, some of these scriptures hit very, very hard. They hit really hard. The first scripture I want to read you, Proverbs chapter 6. If you're a note taker, write this down. Type it in your phone. Put it on your notepad. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 says this. There are six things that the Lord hates. Six things God hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. You know what the number one thing the Lord hates is this? Haughty eyes. Someone that looks down on others. Someone who is haughty, who has lifted themselves up, who looks down on other people and says, I am better than you, that exemplifies pride. Because you go to the Baptist church and I go to the Assemblies of God church, I'm better than you. Because I'm this race, I look at you this way. Because I'm this color, because I'm this creed. We look down on it. God hates it when people get prideful and they get haughty. God hates it. James 4:6 says this. James 4:6 says, God gives more grace. How many of you thank God for the grace of God? Let me hear you say amen. God gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's powerful, y'all. Like God. Like, do you know who this God is that we serve? The God that created? The God that parted the Red Sea? The God of the universe opposes the proud. That means when we get prideful and arrogant, God is against us. Dangerous, powerful. One more scripture. Proverbs 16:8. Pride comes before destruction. How many of you have ever got just a little bit prideful and the Lord showed you, I can humble you, big boy? Funny story, I told this story first service and I didn't know that he would be here, but he's here today in second service. Tom Morehouse is back there. We branded calves at Tom Morehouse's about a month ago, and previously Tom had said, boy, that Cody Cochran's a good calf dragger. He's one of the best calf draggers I've ever seen. And we went and Brandon at his house. I couldn't catch a cold. That day is the worst day ever I had dragging. I said, Tom, brag on me. Let me get a little prideful, and I promise I'll let you down every time. Pride comes before a fall. Pride is dangerous. Pride is actually, if we read the Word of God, pride, I believe in my heart, is the original sin. If you study the Scripture, here's you another note. Isaiah 14. You can read that tonight. Isaiah 14 tells the story of this angel that was created by God. His name was Lucifer. His name was Satan. He was the most beautiful of all the angels. He was living in heaven. And Satan got a little bit prideful. He said, I'm prettier than everybody else. I can sing better than everybody else. I'm smarter than everyone else. And this angel, Lucifer, he started a revolt in heaven. And he said, you guys need to worship me rather than worshiping God. He was prideful. Thought he was better than what he really was. And you know what God did? God opposed him and God kicked him out of heaven. Because God opposes the prideful. Satan was defeated. Satan made his own bed because pride, Satan fell. And so here's what Satan did. Let me tell you how smart Satan thinks he is. Because Satan was defeated by pride. In the beginning in Genesis 3 when God created man and woman, guess what Satan tempted Eve with? Pride. Satan tempted Eve with pride. Genesis 3:5. The enemy goes to Eve and says, for God knows that when you eat of that one tree, your eyes will be opened. You'll see more than everybody else, and you will be like God. You will know good and evil. He said, if you do this, you'll be better than everybody else. Pride. And Eve's like, oh, yeah. And she bought the lie. Pride came and the fall of mankind came. In the New Testament, you read the New Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, came and dwelt upon this earth 30 years, and he started his ministry at age 30. Jesus was driven to the wilderness, and he was fasting for 40 days, and when he came out of that wilderness season, Satan was right there. And guess what Satan tempted Jesus with? Pride. Pride. Matthew 4:3, and the tempter came. The tempter, Satan came, and he said to Jesus, if you're really who you say you are, if you're really the Son of Man, show me who you are and turn these stones into bread. Pride tempted him with pride, and the enemy tempts us with pride. Pride is a killer. Pride is a real struggle for all of us, and you know what? Today, we're going to close out our service. We're going to talk about a really touchy subject that's going on in our world right now. We're going to talk about Pride Month. We're going to talk about it. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's getting more sensitive in the world that we live in. It's touchy because here's the deal. If we're honest, more and more people that we know and we love are being tempted by that lifestyle. I have family members that are tempted. I have family members that are struggling with this LGBTQTIA+ culture that's going on in the world. And you know what the problem is? We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. We want to address it. We'll just push it down and we'll go out of sight, out of mind. But how many of you know we got to start talking about it? Today is not a day of judgment. If your family struggles with it, mine does too. If your family struggles, mine does. I have friends that are struggling with all that. Today is not a day of judgment. Today is not a day of hate. Today is not a day of pride where we're better than and we're looking down on other people. How many of you know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? We're just going to look at something today. See, the world says this. You know what the world says to you and I today? That if you disagree with me, that you hate me and you don't like me and you're a bigot and I'm going to label you. And we as a Christian church, we've been silent because the world says, if you speak out against LGBTQTIA+, then you're full of hate. How many of you know the lie of the enemy right now is this, that we can't disagree and still be friends? How many of you know that's a lie from the pit of hell? One of the greatest friends I have is a preacher. A preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ preaches the word of God. He's a straight-running Calvinist. He believes once saved, always saved. He believes in predestination. I am a Christian. I do not agree with him on those issues, but we can come together and celebrate the blood of Jesus Christ because that's the only hope we got. We can have differing opinions and still agree. There's a struggle in the world when pride overtakes us. Today, we're not looking down on anybody. That would make us prideful. Today, we're simply going to gain some knowledge. Hosea 4:6, God says this, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. We don't know. We talked about it. We must be knowledgeable. We must be informed. Because here's the reason why. Why, Cody? Why are we talking about this? Because this agenda is being pushed on our children. I'll say this right now. Whatever lifestyle you want to live, go for it. I love you. I got gay friends. I got gay family. I love them. They know I don't agree with them. If that's what you want to do, choose. Go live that life. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's not God's will. But if that's what you want to do, go for it. But please, please hear me on this today. I love the LGBTQTIA plus community, and you got to love them too as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. I love them just like I love the people who are having premarital sex, because how many of you know sin is sin, and it all separates us from God. I love the LGBTQTIA plus community just like I love the people that are living together that are not married. I love the LGBTQTIA plus community just like I love the people that are addicted to pornography. It is all sin, and I am a preacher of the Word of God and a preacher, and I have to stand for something. We have to preach against any kind of sin because sin separates us from God. Here's the deal. If we want God's best, we must honor, revere, and obey His words and His commands, not just our feelings. Here's the problem I have today. I want to tell you this. My problems and my struggle and the reason that I'm sharing this today is because we've got to discuss not just the LG part of this community, but the rest of it. The BTIA thing. Like I said, if you want to be, if you live a gay lifestyle or a homosexual lifestyle, that's on you. I still love you. But when you start speaking the lies of transgenderism and bisexualism and asexualism and demisexualism and you start pushing it onto my children and you start teaching my sons that you can be a girl, you don't have to be a boy. And when you start teaching daughters that daughters can don't have to be a girl but they have to be a boy. And when we start teaching young men that you can be pregnant and have a baby and it's being pushed on our children, that's when we got to have a problem. And we got to talk about it. I don't understand. It's beyond me why this transgender movement and this drag queen, drag show movement, they're after our children. Do you understand that? They want to read stories at the library to the children. They want to go to the elementary schools. Here's my question. Why don't the drag queens go to the old folks' home and read to the old folks? Because they're after our kids, because kids are moldable. Because kids are innocent, because kids are naive, and they will believe whatever the adults teach them in their life. Do you realize this, y'all? Do you realize last year in Abilene, Texas, they were set to have a family-friendly drag show? Yeah, more of you should have went, my point, that's my, you proved my point, because we've become desensitized to it. Because it's become a part of our world. Because we've been told, shut up, be silent. We've been told you can't speak out against that. You can't have a biblical opinion or you're going to be no good. And so we just become quiet and neutral and don't say anything. A drag show for families in Abilene, Texas? Now, praise God, enough people raised enough hell about it that they didn't do it. I'm just saying. But they're out to get our kids, man. I see college kids. I'm thankful for college kids, man, for the college kids that come. Can I tell you, I've seen college kids who grew up trusting and believing the Word of God that go to college and that culture has changed their mindset and they come back and they say, Cody, because you're not tolerant, you're a bigot and you're a homophobe. Because the world's trying to change our mind. We're not better than anybody else. But come on, y'all, we got to wake up and take a stand for the Word of God and for the way God created us. Can I tell you what I saw? Can I tell you what I saw this week? It's sickening. I saw a video of a man, a grown man, probably in his 30s, who had a G-string on, who had prosthetic breasts on that looked as real as any as I've ever seen. Barely covered up on the very end of them, walking around in high heel shoes, holding the hand of a four-year-old little girl while other grown men and women stuck dollar bills in the G-string of this man. Why are we not outraged that the innocence of our children is being distorted and destroyed by nothing short of Satan himself? You know what else I saw this week? I saw a so-called pastor stand in a so-called pulpit in the middle of a so-called church dressed in drag with a woman's dress on, a wig, and makeup, inviting children to come down to the front for children's church who were dressed in drag as well. Our children watch TV. How many of you have TVs in your home? How many of you have cable? How many of you know what Nickelodeon is? Nickelodeon, it's an American TV channel. Nickelodeon, it has SpongeBob, stupidest show ever, but it has SpongeBob. Nickelodeon, you can watch Blue's Clues. Nickelodeon, you can watch the Smurfs. You can watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Do you know this past month, Nickelodeon made a video that plays in between shows on the Nickelodeon channel where a drag queen named Nina West, clothed, it's a dude with a dress, with a wig on, and he is singing a song teaching the children who are watching Nickelodeon to celebrate Pride Month and LGBTQIA. How many of your parents, let's be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, have said, "Whoo, I'm worn out. You kids are on my last nerve. Go watch Blue's Clues." And they go in there and you don't even know it, but the enemy is coming through the TV and your children who are innocent and moldable and gullible are hearing that it's okay to live this way. We got to gain knowledge, y'all. We got to stand up. We got to gain knowledge. I'm going to give you a little knowledge. Are you ready for some knowledge? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. LGBTQIA, what does that even mean? Don't forget the plus. You got to throw the plus in there. Let's talk about it. That's what they just say, pile them all together. L is for lesbian. G is for gay. Lesbian is women attracted to women. Gay is men attracted to men. Bisexuals, they ACDC, they flop. They like men one day, women the other day. It's just true. I don't mean that hateful. Here's where it starts getting weird. Transgender. Like, where did that term even come from? That means this, that I am a man, but I'm really not a man. I'm a man living in a woman's body. I feel like I'm a woman. Like I'm transgender. Like I'm changing. Like I was misgendered at birth. Like the doctor looked at my parts and said, "Cody is a dude." But later on in life, I said, "Nah, I'm a girl." Like seriously, like it's an issue, man. Like did you know in America, all of the states until previously, all of the states had birth certificates. And on the birth certificates, there were two boxes to be checked when a baby was born. It was a male or it was a female. Did you know now there are some states that have three boxes, male, female, and non-specified? That means that some whacked out, crazy, sick parent can look at their child and see the very parts of their child and know that God made them to be one gender, but the parent says, "Nah, I want them to be another gender," and check another box. It's confusion. And it's going to destroy our society if we don't stand up about it. Transgender. And then there's also Q, which is queer and questioning. There's I, which is intersexual, which means I was born with both male and female chromosomes. The A stands for asexual, which means I have no sexual attraction to any gender. And then there's the plus, and here's where it gets really freaky and really weird. Under the plus, they have people that are two-spirited. I have the spirit of a man and the spirit of a woman living inside of me. Then there's non-binary. I'm neither male nor female. Don't mind the science. Don't mind my genitalia. Don't mind my chromosomes. I'm just, you know what? I'm neither one. You know what? You know what gets me? How many of you remember 4 years ago when our government was slamming us, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science, put your mask on, trust the science, go get a shot, go get injected, trust the science, you can't go to work, trust the science. You know what science says? Two X chromosomes is a female and an X and a Y chromosome is a male. But now on this issue, we can't trust the science. We have to go with what an individual feels, because they could be two-spirited. They could be non-binary. They could be pansexual. They could be demisexual. They could be aromatic. They could be gender fluid, which means I can switch in whenever I want to. They could be agender. So confusing. So messed up. How many of you know God is not the author of confusion? And we need to get back to some good old biblical teaching and some good old common sense and say male or female. So confusing. Can I just tell you something else? This thing, how many of you know sin starts out little and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? The enemy comes in and he tempts the young couple who are teenagers who are dating. They know they shouldn't be having any kind of sexual relations, but the first thing they do is they hold hands. And then the next time they go out and he puts his hand on her leg. And the next time they go out, they're in the making out in the back seat of a car. And the next thing you know, they go out and they're having relations and they're all of a sudden in the middle of full-fledged sexual relationship outside of the confines of marriage. And it all started out with a little bit. It's what the enemy has done in America. Started out with a little bit. You got to be tolerant. You got to accept. You got to be okay. You got to believe. And here we are right now. And you know where we are right now? We're trying to let grown men put on women's panties and enter into the women's swimming contest in high school and college and let a dude go into the locker room of a bunch of innocent little girls and undress and dress and shower with little girls. Not my granddaughter either. And I wonder, in love, because we can't look on down on them. They are distorted. They are messed up. They are jacked up, and they need a Savior just like you and I do too. But I wonder at what time are we going to say, not on my watch, not in my generation. This is my generation, and if you try to send a dude, if a dude tries to go get dressed in there with Clara Lynn, buddy, I will kick you in the shin. I'll poke you in the eye. I will fight you until the Jesus comes back, but you're not going to do that because I'm here to protect my children. Well, I got a friend. We were at a restaurant in Abilene one time. In Abilene! There's a transgender, I don't know, it's a waiter or a waitress in one of the restaurants in Abilene. It's a dude. I'm just saying it's a dude dressed in girl's clothing. And my buddy, some of his little family that were young girls went to the bathroom. And this he, him, they, them, they, thee, whatever he this thing was, starts to go into the bathroom. And my friend steps over in front of the bathroom door and says, nope, you ain't going in there. Not with my family in there. Not with my little girls in there. And this person said, I need to go. He said, well, you just have to wait because that's my girls, my family in there, and I'm protecting them for all I've got. It's weird, man. It's fouled up. And we got to love, but we have to stop, man. God created us. You're created in God's image. God did not make a mistake when he created you. Look at me. God did not make a mistake because here's the deal. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, God created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God created two genders. And listen to me. I want you to understand this. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, for you formed my inward parts, God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Here's the thing, fundamentally, as biblical Christians. If we buy the lie that God made a mistake and he put me in a male body, but I'm really a female, that means that God messed up and God made a mistake. And if God made any kind of mistake and God was wrong, that means he is not a trustworthy God in any area. Because our God is righteous, because our God is just, because God's way is perfect, we got to know God doesn't make mistakes. God created his power. I got to go. And you say to me, Cody, why aren't we talking about this? Because they're after our kids. Because teachers are teaching it to our kids. Google it. Look it up. Nickelodeon's after our kids. Hollywood's after our kids. Better wake up. Disney's after our kids. You got to look. You got to pay attention. You got to be a good parent. You got to be on your watch. You got to talk to your children. You got to talk to your grandchildren about it. Because you know what? Look, just Google it. If you don't believe me, Google it. At the curriculum that is being put out for our public education system, that there's curriculum being put out that in every school system that teaches all this stuff. Culture, Hollywood, our government is celebrating it. Our government is lighting up the White House with pride colors. Guess what else? Churches are avoiding this issue. We're not talking about it because we're afraid they'll label us. That dadgum Cody, he's just an old cowboy, old grouchy son of a buck. He's a hater. He's a homophobe. He don't like. Or otherwise, churches are talking about it in a prideful, arrogant way, looking down and condemning and beating other people up who are living in the ways of the world. We have to talk about this, and we have to talk about it in love. It's our job to protect our children. Here's the deal. We don't let three-year-old boys, we don't teach our three-year-old, we don't let our three-year-old boys watch women pole dancers and strippers at the strip club. Do we? We don't let five-year-old girls, we don't talk to them about Chippendale male strippers. We don't let 12-year-olds drink alcohol. We don't let 10-year-olds watch pornography. We don't let 8-year-olds steal, lie, and take the Lord's name in vain. Then why shouldn't we be infuriated when they're trying to push this on our children? I'm running plumb out of time. I'll just say this. We got to protect our children. We can't hate. We have to do it in love. We have to do the truth of the Word of God. It's all progressive. It starts a little bit. We talked about gay stuff, and we were okay, get it. We understand that's been a problem since Sodom and Gomorrah. Men were attracted to men sometimes. Women were attracted to women sometimes. Not biblical, but it's been an issue. It's been a struggle. It's still sex, and sex is one of the greatest temptations that men and women have in this world. Can I hear a good amen? Okay, then it started out gay, and then we started accepting this bisexualism stuff. Oh, you can swap it out. Then we start accepting this transgender stuff. Then we start accepting this sex change stuff. And then now all of a sudden some people believe men can be pregnant. And now this group is demanding. You know what this group is demanding on us now? We're going to change the English language and you have to label me or call me by the pronoun that I tell you to call me. Pride. What's next? Where's it going next? We've become desensitized little by little. Can I just say this and I'm done? Maybe. Our country is letting parents castrate their sons right now at a young age because the parents believe that the son is really a daughter and not a son. They're allowing us to prescribe some prescription medicine to block, to be puberty blockers, to change sex of our kids, y'all. We have to stop. Come on, Conrad, help me close. I got to quit. Here's the deal. How many of you parents had the sex talk with your kids? The birds and the bees. I mean, that's what it used to be, the birds and the bees, right? Yeah, and how many of you would say it was uncomfortable? Like, I had the sex talk with my boys, and Jennifer couldn't be in the same room with the boys for the, like, next 3 weeks because she's embarrassed because what I told them. Like, we had the sex talk with them. Because we wanted to be informed. We wanted to hear it from us. and not from Instagram and not from some teacher and not from some movie. Unfortunately, we live in a time right now where parents, you not only have to have the heterosexual talk and the birds and the bees talk, you need to have the homosexual talk and the LGBTIAQ plus talk and the birds and the birds and the bees talk. Because it's the culture we live in. And you and I have to protect our children. They're our future. And as much as the enemy is after them, we have to stand and protect them. The bottom line is pride. Pride is the original sin. Pride don't work in the gay community. Pride don't work in the straight community. Pride doesn't work in the atheist community, and pride doesn't work in the Christian community. We have to get over our pride because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only chance any of us have is the blood of Christ. God created us all. Can I tell you, you're awesome. You're no accident. God created you. He created you male and female, and He knew exactly what He needs you to be. God created us in a way, can we be honest, that we could come together, male and female, and replenish the earth. We live in a farming and a ranching community. Many farmers and ranchers, they depend on the calf crop that they raise that year. How heavy are the calves? How big are the calves? How many of the calves are there? Even farmers and ranchers and common sense people know this. You can't turn a bunch of heifers out in a pasture and expect at the end of the season to have some calves. You can't turn a bunch of steers out together and expect them to reproduce and to keep the ranching industry going. Sooner or later, if we keep doing that, the ranchers will go broke, we'll have no beef, and we'll be vegans, and we'll be eating tofu and green beans the rest of our life and drinking soy milk. Common sense says you got to turn a male and a female out together, and God created them in a way that they can reproduce and save the next generation. It's just truth. We got to teach it. We got to take the initiative. We got to teach and train our children, and we have to have the courage. Listen to me. Look, and I'm done. We have to have the courage to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. In love, but stand up. Because the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Stand up on your feet and let's pray and we'll close. Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord. Lord, we live in a fallen world and so many things are messed up. But Lord, I pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit today. The Bible says your Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. The Bible says your Holy Spirit only speaks truth to us. That your Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and understanding beyond ourselves. So speak to us today, God. Lord, I pray for people that are struggling with sin, be it heterosexual, be it homosexual, whether it be pornography, whatever it is, Lord, sin is a killer. And I thank you that you forgive us of our sins when we repent and when we turn to you. Lord, for those of us who struggle with pride, Lord, humble us today. Humble our hearts. Let us know none of us are better than anybody else. You're our only hope. Let us live for you. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on.